Welcome to the Yoga Inspired Life podcast. I'm your host, Shayla Quinn, and together we'll go on a journey of self-discovery as we explore all of the inner workings of what it means to live an inspired life. Join me for solo episodes and conversations with special guests for real, authentic deep dives into all things yoga, wellness, self-love, mindfulness, and everything in between. If you're ready to get inspired, learn, grow, evolve, to connect, and up-level your life, then you've come to the right place. I am beyond excited that you're here, so let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Today, I am joined by my friend Remy Park, who you might also know as Veggiekins online. Remy and I covered so many different topics in this conversation, from going vegan, self-care, and choosing yourself, to her sobriety, mental health, and her past struggles with disordered eating. Today's episode just feels like a soul-nourishing, heart-to-heart girl chat, which I freaking love so much. So let's just jump right into it. Enjoy.
Yay! Welcome to the Yoga Inspired Life podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. And it's been a while since we've had a chance to chat too. So I'm just excited to talk.
I know, it's been way too long. And I want to start off this interview or conversation rather with you just sharing a little bit more about yourself, introduce yourself, tell us who you are, what you do.
So my name is Remy. I am a creator. I don't really know how to answer this question ever. It kind of changes every time, but I create vegan and gluten-free recipes, and I do like food photography, on Instagram and my website primarily. So it's kind of like a recipe resource. And I also share a lot of health and wellness content. I used to teach yoga. I haven't in years at this point, but I'll incorporate a little bit of like the yoga, mindfulness, living well into my content as well. That's what I do.
I love that. Yeah. And we're both lovers of pink, which makes me love you even more.
The best color. I love it.
The best color. I know. So, guys, she has an incredible blog and an amazing Instagram and on TikTok too. I love following you on TikTok as well. I've linked everything down in the show notes, but let's talk about Veggiekins. That's your alter ego, if you will. And I would love to know about the birth and evolution of that. Like, where did that come about? And maybe even talk about your journey to becoming a content creator.
Yeah. So it's actually funny because it happened very accidentally. So I started like sort of a Finsta, I guess, as I was working through eating disorder recovery. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was in college, and I didn't want to have to, you know, drop out of school to pursue or to be in recovery, like in treatment or anything like that. So I actually worked with one of the campus therapists, and what we did was used Instagram as sort of like a log for me to sort of prove that I was following my meal plan and being compliant with that. And it also made it a little bit more fun, I think, because it turned it into an activity. Like, it was an opportunity for me to take photos of the food, style it a little bit, and then share it on Instagram. And at the time, there were actually other people who were going through the same thing or had sort of recovery accounts. So I did make kind of like Instagram friends. I have no idea who those people are in real life at all, but you know, I had like, I don't know, 10 followers, and like, we'd always like support each other through it. So it was really nice. And then eventually I think what happened was that I connected it to my Facebook account. And so all my friends found it. And the thing is, like, I didn't want to delete the account because I had made these connections and I was still using it. So instead what I did was I just started to make the photos look a little bit nicer, you know, stepped it up a little bit and made it a little bit more, I guess, like friend friendly, you know, so mm-hmm. things that I would be comfortable with friends reading. But it was actually really nice because it started a lot of conversations for me with friends who didn't know what I was dealing with at the time. So I just tried to lean into that vulnerability a little bit. It was kind of like all out there. And I think that's a big part of the reason why I'm so comfortable talking about anything and everything as far as like mental health goes on my social platforms. But that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, I was doing it for fun on the side all through my first job. So I got my first corporate job after college, and I think it was like 3 months in, I started having issues with different things, but mental health related to like addiction and sobriety. And so I actually left my job for that reason, with the intention of just being in therapy a little bit more full time to make sure that I wasn't going to have, you know, a full on relapse or anything. And that's kind of when it took off because, you know, I had more time to create and I did need to still pay the rent, even though I wasn't necessarily off the hook with work yet. So from there, I just kind of kept creating for fun. And then I started to get brand partnerships come in. I landed one of my first brand partnerships actually that was almost half of my salary or what it would have been at my job. And that kind of gave me the motivation, not necessarily to quit, but just to know that I would be okay for like X number of months and I could focus on my recovery. So I really didn't have a plan. I wish that I did. And my advice now to people is always to like have a plan and not do what I did. But I'm glad that I made the jump in the way that I did, because I don't think this ever would have happened if it didn't go down that path.
Yeah. I love that. You know, yeah, a plan is great, but sometimes as we see from what happened this past year, is that your plan can sometimes blow up. So sometimes you just got to go for it, you know?
Absolutely.
My story is similar to yours in the sense that my social media and blog really started out as a passion project and a place for me to find relief from the grief that I was experiencing in my life. And I love that yours really started in that way too, and very organically. And I think that's always amazing when you can find inspiration and guidance and healing through something that is creative and it gives you something to focus on, right? And expand in. You touched on a little bit of what you went through, but I would love if you could expand a little bit on your past struggles with your eating disorder. And you spoke a little bit about being in recovery and sobriety. And if you're comfortable with that, I'd love to chat about that.
So it's kind of like, it's like a little melting pot of like a bunch of different mental health related things. And I think that's kind of the root of a lot of the things that I've gone through. So from a young age, I had OCD, and a lot of times there's comorbidity between OCD and anorexia, which is what I developed around age 7 or so. I'm not really sure what the cause was for that, but you know, I think part of it is that my family moved overseas for the first time when I was around that age. I think it was like a control thing because, you know, OCD, it's related a lot to control. Same thing with anorexia. And obviously like I actually was a pretty tall kid and I was like technically physically bigger than a lot of my peers when I moved to Asia, because I think it's just like a cultural difference in like, you know, things like snacking, even just like the food that's available and like the junk food, there was just definitely a big difference. And on average, I would say maybe like, you know, the body type in Asia is like generally a little bit more lean. So I just felt like I was very different. And I remember feeling that way, like as I was growing up. And the sad thing is I was so young that it was like definitely a lot of, you know, like sort of baby fat and natural just weight that would eventually turn into maybe like more height and things like that. And I really don't know to this day what my sort of natural set point is, because I never reached that point. Like my eating disorder started when I was so young. So that started when I was around 7. And then by the time I was in middle school, I'd moved to a different country, and in that country it was pretty common to go clubbing, have access to drinks, drugs, like really whatever you wanted without an ID. And it was also very, very cheap. So we would go to clubs, you know, like most nights, even during the week as well, like school nights, it didn't really matter. We'd go and get super, super drunk, like blackout basically. And I had very low tolerance too, so it didn't take much for me, honestly. I think like part of it is when you're not eating enough, like it's just very easy for you to get drunk. So there was that too. And then it was really like after the first night that I went out, I had tried so many things that I was afraid of. So I had tried, you know, obviously alcohol, and then also a substance that a friend told me was a painkiller and it wasn't. But after that experience, I was like, oh, well, I've tried kind of like something high on my list of do not tries. And so everything else feels just not as scary anymore. And so from that point on, it was like normal. And I did it for fun initially. And I think after junior year, I went through something really difficult and I was kind of noticing that I would actually enjoy drinking alone. Like before that, it was very much social, but after like a traumatic experience, it was something that I would do alone. I would drink alone. I would, you know, take substances alone and kind of use it as like a coping mechanism, I think, because I didn't want to deal with what was going on. So that was kind of my experience through high school. And then I was dating a boyfriend at the time who had been with me since the beginning of high school. So he'd been with me through the journey and really supported my recovery. But it wasn't until college when I came back to the US that I realized like all these things that had happened to me were so abnormal. We would talk about, you know, high school experiences with friends that I had met in college, and everyone was like, I have never had that experience. Like, that's not normal. Mm. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that, because in the environment that I was in, it was just what we did. So that was like a great wake up call for me. And on campus, we had this university therapy center that you would get a few free sessions each semester. So that's where I started going. I think I actually went for OCD at first. And then, you know, we kind of did that whole thing where you crack it open and then tell the whole story. And that's when we started working on more of the eating disorder recovery stuff. And it really wasn't until like maybe my sophomore year of college that I felt like I could say, I am in recovery. You know, I'm sober, like all these things. So it was a huge shift for me. And that was right around the time that I went vegan as well. So it was a lot of change, but to me, it just felt like a great place to just have a fresh start.
Thank you so much for sharing with me and being vulnerable. And, you know, I can relate to a lot of what you shared. I have struggled with disordered eating in different ways. And I definitely in high school, in an effort to fit in with a group of people, because I was new to the school and dealing with self-worth and self-esteem issues, I hung out with the wrong crowd. And I tried a lot of things that I would never try. And I did a lot of things that were not me, you know, in an effort to find community. And it was really hard, because when you're in that environment, it feels normal. I wasn't even, I'm using air quotes right now, guys, the worst of the group. You know, I was like trying to err on the side of caution, but I still got wrapped up in it. And so I completely can relate to all of that. And I'm just curious if you're open to sharing, like, what do you think the root of these destructive behaviors and choices were?
It's interesting. The more I think about it now, so I've had a lot of change in my life recently. I think a lot of it has to do with the way that I internalized feeling and experiences. Like, my personality type is very much to internalize, not express so much.
Me too.
And it's like when you hold those things in, it has a physical impact on your body. Like, I really 100%. Believe that, you know,
yeah.
That shit is heavy. So it's just like it manifests.
Well, it's
got to
go somewhere. Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. So I think that definitely has a little bit to do with it, but it's also just that, you know, a lot of the things that I went through, I always felt so bad about, because I had a great upbringing. Like, I have nothing to complain about when it comes to like my family life, the way my parents raised me. And that's something that I always felt so guilty about, because I was like, why do I have these issues when I have like no reason to have them? You know, it's like I had friends who maybe had sort of just like tumultuous lives at home, and I never had any of that. You know, I had very loving parents, very supportive. So to me, it was always like, why is this happening? You know?
Yeah.
And that added a layer of, I think, guilt and shame, which made it difficult for me to open up, because it was sort of this mentality of like, why are you so ungrateful when you have everything that you need? Like, how could you have these issues?
Yeah.
So definitely some of that. And just a lack of therapy. Like, it wasn't until the end of high school that I ever really went to any therapy. And it was because my school required it for me, because
yeah.
I wasn't showing up. And I'm so grateful that happened, because therapy is awesome. Like, it sucks, but it's also awesome, you know?
Girl, I just started therapy.
Oh my goodness.
Like 7 months ago.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, we could all use it this year, I think, especially.
I mean, I have so much past trauma and drama. I too internalize things, and I repress really hard emotions. And so I can relate to you on that level too. And I'm the type to just, okay, let's just ignore and keep it moving. And then finally, towards the end of last year, it was like, I think I'm ready to actually unpack this. And wow, guys, therapy is a game changer. This
it
is
really
life changing. Oh my gosh. And yeah, so no shame, no guilt. And I agree. Like, I think that once you're able to start opening up and looking at things, and also just finding acceptance for things, they start to lose their power over you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And I feel like for me, it's a lot of blockage in like the throat chakra. Like, that's always been the case for me. And right now that's like my focus has just been to like express more. So social media is like an easy way to start, in my opinion, because
yes.
that's kind of how I started. But I realized there's this like disconnect between the way that I'm comfortable expressing myself online because I used it as like a form of therapy in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And like me voicing things the same way with the same openness and vulnerability in real life with people I know, like for some reason it's so much more difficult. So that's like an ongoing journey for me, but it just feels so much better when you let that shit go.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that, but it's hard though. Nobody wants to feel bad, right? Like we don't want to deal with tough emotions. And I think it's totally normal to want to avoid feeling like that. Like it's a normal thing, but it is very powerful when you can start to dive in and face those things, because then they start to lose their power over you. Mm-hmm. So you talked about going plant-based. So you weren't raised vegan.
No, not at all. Yeah. Okay. I was raised on like hot dogs and
the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So what made you shift into a plant-based diet? I'd love to know more about that.
So I actually had this realization that I probably was allergic to dairy. I was when I was a kid, like really, really young, but I sort of outgrew my dairy allergy, whatever that means. Like I still don't understand how that works, but somehow I was able to have, you know, like yogurt, cheese, all those things. And I realized as I got older that like the days where I would eat like pizza and cheese and ice cream were days where I would start like, and this is like a little bit graphic, but I would like vomit at night. And sometimes I would be like, it'd just be like a pretty bad situation. I was like, I don't understand why this is happening. So eventually I kind of linked the dairy and the upset stomach every night. And I decided, you know, I just need to make a clean break from dairy and see how I feel. And it was a physical feeling for me. Like, I think when you physically feel better, that's like all the proof that you need that a change in your diet or your lifestyle is working for you.
Yeah.
You don't realize how sick you are until you feel better sometimes.
So true.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally, right?
Yes. So true. So that was a huge one for me. And then the next week I decided, you know, let me just try vegan, because all of the recipes that I was using happened to be vegan. You know, it was like a dairy-free mac and cheese, which was vegan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this vegan thing about? So I tried it and I felt again, like much better. I felt like this lightness. I felt like this, I guess like better digestion overall that I didn't realize was anything that was an issue before, but suddenly it was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I feel so energized. I feel so like alive. And from that point on, I just decided, okay, I'm going to not eat meat or eggs or anything else anymore. So it was really kind of like overnight. And I would say in the beginning, it was definitely more selfishly motivated. It was health related for me. And then as I became more familiar with what it really meant to be vegan and, you know, watched the documentaries, understood the implications, environmentally and ethically, that's when I really made the connection. I was like, okay, this makes so much sense. And that's, I think, the reason why I stayed vegan. Because I think if I hadn't made the connection, I might be kind of like flexitarian plant-based and eat it for the health, but then, you know, have my days where I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm just going to have a little ice cream or a little this and that. So what's interesting was that after going vegan, I noticed that there was this improved relationship with food for me, because I think I felt more of a tie to the reason why I was eating the way I was eating. Mm, so yeah. I felt good about the food, knowing that, you know, it was like an ethical choice and that it was, you know, something positive for the animals and also myself, and obviously health too. And then honestly, just like the fact that I was eating less processed food made it more difficult to be obsessive about like the calories and labels and stuff. So I really enjoyed that. It was just kind of this fun new way of thinking of food. And then I had to relearn too how to cook a lot of things for the first time. And I think just like spending that time with food, like, you know, chopping vegetables, like really just like feeling it, experiencing the taste and the flavors and the texture, that is so, so healing. And I just had the best relationship I'd ever had with food after that. Like I became excited about, you know, trying vegan donuts and things like that. Things I would have never eaten when I was still in like my disorder period. Yeah. So, it's been so, so great. And now I think it's been about 7 years or so since I first went vegan. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been plant-based for, I think, almost 6 years. And for me, it was a really organic switch. I've never really liked meat, to be honest. I grew up in a meat eating household too, but I always had this weird aversion to meat and eggs and dairy. I was like, I don't want that. And then one day I just thought, I don't want to eat this anymore. But I really admire your commitment to the ethical approach to it as well. And like the way that you consume, that's something that I'm working on. I don't call myself vegan because I'm not completely vegan. I mean, I don't eat any meat and I never have, and I probably never will. So, but I'm just as far as the way things are sourced and stuff, I don't totally pay attention to that. I'd like to be better about that, but I would love if you could share some tips for getting started with that.
Yeah.
That's something that someone's interested in.
I guess like when it comes to being vegan, there's like the vegan diet, which I feel like you are eating, and then the vegan lifestyle, which encompasses more of, or I guess everything in your life, including beauty products that you use, you know, maybe home goods like leather materials. It's a little bit more difficult for sure, because you just have to be more mindful of things that you never really think to consider because it's so normal. Like, it's funny to think sometimes how normalized certain things are, like leather or beeswax even. And sometimes there is like the argument that, okay, beeswax may not always be the worst, but it kind of just comes down to just like the definition of like what vegan is. And by definition, it's no animal products or byproducts. So it can be a little trickier. Like, I know beauty products was hard for me at first because there's a lot of beeswax used, especially in non-toxic beauty, because it isn't toxic. It's just not vegan. So, you know, honey, beeswax, that can be tricky for some people. But the way that I think I would suggest people do it is kind of just like phase things out slowly. I think it can be really wasteful to just kind of throw everything out and then buy new things, not to mention expensive. And it's like, you know, you shouldn't feel bad about things you already own. I think it's all about intention at the end of the day. And there's also no need to call yourself vegan. Like, that can be the ultimate goal if you'd like, or you can kind of aspire to live more of a vegan lifestyle, but there's also no need to slap a label on it and then make yourself feel bad if that's not something that's achievable for you right away. So it's kind of the way that I like to see it. It's the same thing with like leather products. I feel like are tough. If you own them, I kind of feel like, you know, the animal has passed already. So if you just kind of toss it, it feels, you know, it's kind of like a sticky situation, I think, for some people. But in general, I try to be definitely more understanding and just compassionate when it comes to veganism and the way I live my life. Like, I never want to be that vegan stereotype. I don't think it helps anybody. And that's not the form of activism that helped me at all. And, you know, like you said, I wasn't born or raised vegan. So I definitely understand like the challenges in transitioning, and also the privilege too, because it's not something that everybody can do. Like, I used to think that, but I know now that that's not the case. I mean, everybody's got a different situation in life. So
yeah, I love that approach. It really bums me out when people kind of create a divide and be like, you're not plant-based, there's honey in that. And I'm like, no, but I know, you know, so I think it's important to like leave the door open and be more welcoming in that sense.
Absolutely.
It's much more appealing. They say you catch more, is it bees with honey, flies with honey? What is it? But you know what I mean? Like, let's be welcoming. And I think any amount of effort that people can make towards consuming more consciously and more ethically and consuming more plants is what we need.
Agreed. Agreed. And I think a lot of the anger or sort of the aggressiveness comes from just like real passion for the value and the message. And I totally get that, because when I first went vegan, I was like, I feel this so deeply. I feel enlightened. I just want other people to be able to understand the same thing. But the truth is, if the ultimate goal is more veganism, then a Meatless Monday is awesome for someone. That's a huge step. And like, if everybody did Meatless Monday, that's a huge win. So we should celebrate it, not focus on like the Tuesday to Sunday, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of like how I like to see it. And it does keep me in check, because most of my friends aren't vegan. A lot of them eat mostly vegan, but like, you know, maybe consume leather or like whatever it is. My family isn't vegan. So it just keeps me in check in that sense, because I can hear like what the pain points are and understand them too.
Yeah. I love that. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your yoga practice. How long have you been practicing? Share your yoga journey. Give us the rundown.
So my mom actually was the first one in my family to get her YTT done.
Oh, I love that.
So when I was super young, my first sort of sport was dance and gymnastics. And then I got injured pretty badly. I never liked yoga. Like, I always thought it was very boring. I had like all these, you know, preconceived notions about what it was. I was like, oh my God, it's not for me at all. And then after my dance injury, I realized like, this is kind of the only thing I can do that's somewhat fun and like, you know, do inversions and things like that. And it definitely motivated me to get into it. So that's sort of like how I first started doing yoga. And I had a lot of natural flexibility from dance and gymnastics, but in such a different way. Like, I really wasn't in tune with my body in the way that I am now, because, for example, like, I knew that I was flexible, but I was lacking in strength for certain things like hollow backs and just back bends in general. Like, just the activation of different muscles was lacking in so many ways. So it really created this body awareness for me. And then of course my mom, she couldn't even touch her toes, and she started her certification, I think, at age 40 something. And she's more flexible than I am now. And I was like, you know what, this is really cool. Like, I could see how strong she was getting. And just like the difference between someone who couldn't touch their toes and now had like their head fully on their knees in a forward fold. And I was like, this is so awesome. So I started practicing yoga pretty soon after that. And then I also felt like it was a really nice way for me to get movement in without feeling like it was kind of a form of punishment, because I definitely had that relationship with exercise when I was still going through like the disorder. Lots of like cardio, very like meaningless cardio, just like focusing on, you know, the little screen and like the number of calories it would say, things like that. And it was really just punishment more than anything. So yoga was the first time I felt like, oh, wait, this is like a great way for me to do some low impact movement that's good for me and feels good. And there was sort of like that mindfulness too. Like the first yoga classes I went to, my teacher would always set intentions and do like a little bit of a meditation before. And I was like, this is so awesome. So I loved that. And then I got my certification as well. And now I think everyone in my family, except for my dad, is now certified.
I love that.
Yeah.
How has your yoga practice influenced the way that you live your life?
I think in more ways than I realize. Like, I had never even made the connection between plant-based living and the yogic life before. I didn't really study too much of like the theory, but I have this really amazing friend. She's a yoga teacher too. And she has just done so much study of all of the history, like the theory, everything. And she teaches that a little bit through the classes that she's giving too. So I've learned a lot of that through her, like even just her Instagram captions. I'm like, girl, it's a lesson every day. And I love it. But yeah, the more that I learn, the more I realize like so much of the way that I would like to live or feel like I'm in line with my values really does line up with like the yogic principles and the lifestyle. And it's kind of just funny how it worked out that way.
Yeah, totally. I would love for you to share some of the tools and or practices that have been most powerful for you in your healing journey.
This is a good one. So I would definitely say yoga. That's been a big one for me.
Figured meditation, you might.
Yeah. Meditation, I have to say, I'm not the biggest fan, or I'm just very bad at it, because for me, with OCD, it's like I sort of thrive when there's external noise going on, because the internal is where it's louder for me. So I actually prefer either being able to focus on just the physical with yoga, or like I constantly play a podcast in the background when I'm like working during the day, because it's kind of a distraction from what's going on up there. So meditation doesn't really work for me. I don't think I'm ready to kind of face those demons yet, because it's just like a lot going on. But yoga is sort of like my form of meditation, I would say. And then cooking has been a really amazing outlet for me, because it's like that connection with food. So the last one I would say is blogging and content creation, because that has really been a great way for me to practice like expressing myself, which I kind of mentioned earlier. And it forces you to like then have those discussions in real life, because, you know, your friends can see what's on the internet too, and your family can too. So sometimes I'll say something and my parents are like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, when were we going to talk about that? I'm like, I guess we are now. So that has really, really helped me a lot.
Yeah, I love that. So you had touched on that you recently went through a hard time, and I know that we all go through hard times. So I feel like maybe you sharing your story could be helpful for other people, but I would love for you to kind of talk maybe a little bit about your recent breakup, if you're okay with that, and just how you're moving through it.
Yeah. So I was in a relationship for almost 10 years with the boyfriend that I mentioned that I was with in high school. We met in high school, and we really grew up together. It was like such a great relationship in that way, because we had so much common understanding. And I think a lot of what I really valued was not having to explain anything to him. Like, we really got each other. He really was my best friend too, but we started doing long distance as soon as we went to college. So we'd only been together in real life for about 3 years before we started long distance. And it worked in the beginning, you know, like we both got jobs right away our first year of college to then afford plane tickets. And it was pretty expensive. He lived in Amsterdam. So it was like a great motivator for me to be making enough money to afford the plane tickets.
Yeah.
Kind of forced us to grow up a little bit, but I kind of started to realize that I would definitely isolate myself a little bit. You know, I wasn't really having the full college experience because I didn't really want it. I would have rather just been in Amsterdam visiting him. So it's not to say that I missed out, because I'm not really that type of person that would have been into like the college life anyway, I think, because I was also going through recovery at the same time. But in a sense, yeah, like I didn't really embrace it at all. I was really focused on the school work and then traveling to see him. And then when I got my first corporate job, it was kind of like a situation where I was like, okay, how am I going to factor in like visiting as much as I want? He had always worked for himself from the start, so it was actually pretty flexible in that way. And then once I quit my corporate job, it became so much easier because I was like, okay, well, now we both have flexible schedules. So the goal was then to, you know, be able to eventually live in the same place, but it just wasn't happening. And we've been doing long distance for, I want to say 6 years. Yeah, about 6 years, which is tough. We made it work, but I think the thing with long distance is like, I fully believe it can work. I know a lot of people like to say that long distance just doesn't ever work. I fully believe it works as long as there's like an end in sight and both people are fighting for it. I really think that it takes, I think it takes more effort than a real relationship, honestly, because it requires like this thoughtfulness that you have to be able to communicate through a screen, basically. But that being said, it's, you know, it's expensive. It's time consuming. It's very emotional. It's like kind of this constant heartbreak every time you say hi and say goodbye again. And this year, I think what really happened was just this realization that there was a lot of comfort and safety in the relationship, but that I wasn't choosing myself. And a lot of what I was doing in life was living for him, even though I've never been asked to do that. I think it's a little bit to do with the way that I am as a person and the way that our relationship was. I was kind of just sacrificing my well-being and what I needed for him. And, you know, I do think that that's important. Like, yes, sacrifice is involved with the relationship, but it's got to come from both ends. And he's always been a very solid person. You know, I'm the one who has had like mental health issues my whole life. And so that was a struggle for me, not so much for him. And we just came to this point where it was like, look, I have to do what's best for me. And I have to learn to be happy on my own and find other things in life that fulfill me the way that I need. It kind of boils down to love languages too, and knowing that like you deserve the love that you want to receive and in the way that you want to receive it, because just because your partner expresses it in one way doesn't mean that that's what you have to accept. Like maybe they're just not the partner for you, you know? So it's just like a lot of these things that I kind of realized this year. And I think a lot of us are waking up to reality this year because we're spending so much time with ourselves and we're forced to address what we really want in life. And just now I'm taking action, which is like very, very scary because I really felt like I knew what my future was going to look like. And I had this plan in my mind and I've just completely derailed myself, but I'm really trusting in the universe because I've found that every time I sort of ignore the signs from the universe, I end up getting to the same place, just a different route. Like I know that I'm going to end up where I'm meant to end up. And you know, the door is not closed. Like if we end up together later, like that's a possibility. But right now I'm kind of dating myself.
I love that.
Yeah. And I'm doing all the things that I've kind of, sacrificed because of the relationship. So getting a cat, he was very allergic. So, you know, I'm getting a cat, potentially moving, which we'll talk about later, and, starting a few businesses that I was kind of putting on the back burner because I didn't feel like I had the time. So
yeah,
it's been a journey. Probably like the scariest thing that I've ever done as an adult, but you know, I think the last year or so has been scary enough. So I was like, why not? It's a great time to just add a little curveball.
Totally. And I love that you're choosing yourself and this doesn't diminish your feelings or love for your partner or the relationship. It's really important to choose you. This is something that I've had to learn to do my entire life, you know, in so many different ways. I've denied choosing myself through agreeing to do things with that bad friend group that I used to hang out with, right, or picking on my body or overeating or undereating or whatever it was. It's like all about not choosing myself. And so I think when you do choose yourself and you go against what society tells you you think you should be doing or that plan that you have in your mind, it's really actually powerful. you know, that discomfort and that feeling of like being stuck, you're outgrowing your container. And it's that just means that you're ready to expand and up level, you know? Yeah, and I think that this is such an amazing time for you. I know it's probably uncomfortable, but it's inspiring. And only good can come from you choosing yourself.
I love that. I love what you said about outgrowing your container. I think what's really kind of ironic about all of this is that he has taught me so much and has been so integral to my healing that in a sense, it's like, this is, I feel like he was in my life for a reason. And that was to teach me this lesson, but everything that I'm doing right now and like the move that I'm making in my life right now is because of what he's taught me. So I have so much gratitude for him. Like it didn't end on a negative note by any means, but it's just funny to see that he's played such a role in my growth to being able to then recognize like, I need to choose myself now.
100%. And choosing yourself, I believe, ultimately makes you a better partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like I can relate to so much of what you shared, although I've been single for the last few years by choice, but I was never in a fully healthy, balanced relationship. Even if I was with someone who was healthy and balanced, it never was that way in my mind. I was kind of living for them in a way too, like you kind of shared, because I didn't know how to choose myself. You can still choose yourself and be in partnership.
Yes.
You know, but you have to learn how to choose yourself.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You're doing the damn thing. And that is inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been really challenging. And I think also this was a great lesson for me in terms of like sharing my relationship online. Mm. You know, I, like I said, I'm such an open book with what I share, but with that comes, you know, the realization that if you break up, it's going to impact a lot of people. And I had a lot of people following who were also in long distance relationships who really looked up to our relationship or even like followed him on social media. And there was like a little bit of that attachment to him. So that's been a little difficult for sure. And it's, I never thought I would have to be like, hey, I'm announcing a breakup, but it really did come to that. And you know, I think I'm okay with it. Like, does this mean I'll never share a relationship again? Probably not. But
yeah,
it's just interesting to know that I can set boundaries too and how much I share, because there has been a lot of like demanding to know what went down and like the details. And it's like, to be honest, there aren't really any details. Like it was a very amicable end to the relationship, you know, but yeah, it's been helpful for me to learn that like, I need to set boundaries too with my community, even though I feel like I owe them a lot. When it comes to my personal life, like there are always going to be boundaries.
Yeah, I totally understand that. It's funny when people start to demand certain things to you, I have to remind myself too, that I'm like, you can DM me, you can demand from me, but I don't have to open it.
Yes.
I don't have to answer it. This is my TV show. This is my world. Like, you know, and it's, you're like, yeah, I'm writing the script. You guys aren't dictating the script. So boundaries, yes, are super, super important. How are you implementing boundaries around the way that you share? What are some ways that you are going to be doing that?
I think it's just a practice in like saying no, because I have a really hard time with that in general. And then when it comes to my community specifically, I just feel so bad. Like commenting to someone and being like, no, or it's like, hey, can you share this? And just being like, no, I can't. It's so hard. And it feels so dirty to me, but it just isn't. And I have to remind myself that this is part of the work that I'm doing to choose.
Yes. Myself. I was just going to say that.
Chakra, like all of that, you know, so it's a constant work in progress, but being assertive is important. And, you know, I think a lot of people, if they're there for the right reasons, will understand you saying no. And if they get 100%. Upset, like, so be it. They don't need to be following you. So, yeah, it's just a lot of like saying no, which I hate doing, but I am working on.
Let's talk a little bit about self-care practices, your favorite self-care practices.
Yeah. So for me, the biggest thing is morning routine. I'm definitely a morning person. I start my day like super, super early. It makes me feel really good. So my morning routine is really focused on like feeling more awake and having a little time before the emails start coming in to myself, basically. So, you know, usually it's like wake up, watch the sunrise. I do that almost every single day. And then I'll do like a little bit of facial gua sha, because I, unfortunately, when I wake up, have like no color in my face. Like I look like a ghost when I wake up. So it's all about just like physically waking myself up. I'll usually do a little bit of yoga or like some kind of workout. I love to ideally like sweat in the morning and just get the blood flowing. And it's also so freaking cold here that it just feels really good to do that.
Yeah.
And then breakfast, and like a matcha latte or something like that. And I'll do a little bit of journaling. But after that, it's kind of like the rest of the day is sometimes just up in the air, but I always know that I can rely on a morning routine, and just completing those little things makes it feel like I've already accomplished so much in the day. So whatever else happens is just like minor to me. But yeah, now it's like on autopilot. Like it doesn't feel like a chore for me, which I think is important because there are some self-care things that I've tried to implement that I've just felt like such a big task and something kind of that I dread doing, even though I'm like, oh, it's gonna be, gotta do it. And I think when it doesn't feel good, you just, you know, sometimes you just don't have to do it. You don't have to do it all.
Totally. Yeah. I'm a big believer in morning routines too. And I think that doing all of your little self-care practices, if you can do them throughout the day, that's amazing. I just never get to them.
Same,
but if I do it in the morning, I get them done. I set myself up for the day. And I just love the morning. It's such a sacred time. It's like
it really is.
Moment of stillness energetically in the world before the day begins, you know?
Agreed.
So
yeah.
I'm on board with you on that. Okay. To wrap this up, I would love for you to share the best advice you've ever been given.
Ooh. Okay. Well, recently I've been seeing like a lot of like advice TikToks, which is so funny. It's like TikTok knows that I've gone through a breakup recently. and you know, like everybody's like flooding my DMs with like, here's what I did when I had a breakup. So this is going to be kind of self-love related because that's what I've been focusing on recently, but I guess I'll give you like maybe two or three because it's hard to choose. But the most valuable one for me has been that the most important relationship you have is the one you have with yourself first. And that all happiness must come from within first. It can't be external. It's got to be something that you're able to find independent of other people and other things and hopefully material objects, because that can be a great source of, you know, dopamine and all those things. And I think my favorite one is if they wanted to, they would. And this is kind of related to other people, but yeah, it's like kind of just to stop setting expectations, stop having expectations for other people, and just people are going to do what they want to do.
Totally.
And you just kind of have to accept it. Like you can't try and change a person. You can't expect to change someone. I think a lot of us go into relationships, whether romantic or friendship, with that mindset. And it's just not a great way to navigate other people. So really focusing on what's within versus other people and external factors. Yeah. Just really going within.
I freaking love that. So I'll piggyback on that and just say one of my favorite pieces of advice is don't let someone else's bad behavior dictate your character. And it's like same, it kind of goes hand in hand with not having expectations, right, for other people, because you can't change someone else. And also not letting their behavior kind of change the way you show up in the world, because that can be hard. Right? It's difficult.
I love that. Yeah.
So I love that advice, and it's really challenging, but I think that it's incredibly powerful if you can implement that. So
I love that. And I have one more that's kind of like yoga related, but I used to always say that like the asana that you hate the most is sometimes the one you need the most. And I think if you apply that to real life, it's kind of like the task or, you know, whatever it is that you need to do in real life that you're avoiding that you hate so much sometimes is exactly what you need to do. And self-care is work sometimes, you know, it's not always about feeling good. It's feel good later, but sometimes you've got to do the work first.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Tell everyone where they can find you. I will link it also in the show notes, but.
So you can find me on most platforms at VeggieKins. I think it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and then the website with all the recipes is just veggiekinsblog.com.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Yoga Inspired Life podcast. I hope you got something valuable from it and feel empowered to take inspired action. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending time with me today. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I loved creating it, then please subscribe and leave a review. And if you know of anyone that would benefit from the podcast, I would love it if you would share it with them. I always say that we rise by lifting others, and this is a totally independent podcast, so every little bit of support truly means so much to me. If you're looking for more, let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at Shayla Quinn. I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you again for listening, and I'll catch you next week.